This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour 2, G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Cowboys news coming up here in 20 minutes. Have the C-note for you. Time now for Eric Chiafalo's NFL news of the day. Here he is in for the Woolly Bully today, Chief.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Okay, Friday, cold beers and cheeseburgers. Just before we got off the air, we got the news about Jameis Winston and the Giants. And then the numbers came out, and I thought it was interesting to see that it was just a two-year, $8 million deal.
Mm-hmm.
He could work up to $16 million. With incentives, but 2 years for $8 million is—that's as backup money as backup money gets.
Sure,
pretty sure Zach Wilson just went to Miami on a one-year deal. It might have been fully guaranteed at like $6 or $7 million. And that's Zach Wilson, who nobody thinks is better than Jameis Winston. So, but that was, I guess, just the market here. But for the Giants, it makes a ton of sense because he's a guy that is going to be. Is going to be playing an entertaining brand of football. You know how good he is as a vibes guy, locker room guy, culture guy. So if he ends up having to be sort of the veteran grooming the young
quarterback
kind of deal. Yeah,
things are going bad and everybody's talking about getting fired. He's the guy that's going to cheer everybody up.
Probably comfortable being if somehow they get Shedeur Sanders maybe at three.
Sure.
Then, you know, he could be the guy to sort of take him under his wing or whatever and not be complaining about not being the starter. So... all that makes a ton of sense, but it does make me feel like what are you expecting from a draft standpoint, Broadus? Are you expecting the Giants to, because Cam Ward's going to go number one to the Titans. Does Shedeur Sanders, is he there at three? Do the Browns want him at two? There's so much, like some people think he's going to slide. I just don't see the Giants passing on Shedeur Sanders at three.
I don't think so either. I think there's, to me, when I looked at, you know, and I mentioned to you, I've done four of the quarterbacks. I felt like that Ward would be a guy that I'd like to put in my top 15, just overall.
You think so? You gave Cam Ward a first round grade.
I gave him a first round grade, and I haven't had a chance to see Dart yet. I've done Sanders. I have him outside my top 15. So now I have to determine where he slots in there with Golden and Warren and Mikel Williams and Will Johnson, guys like that. So I grade these quarterbacks pretty hard, but I also have to find out, you know, okay, what guys would I, and when they're in the round, what guys would I take them over, or you know, where they would slide or slot in. But I think I watched Sanders play at Jackson State, and this is my thought about him. I watched him play Jackson State in Colorado. I felt like he was a much slimmer, mobile guy at Jackson State than he was at Colorado. Much more mobile of a player. When you watch him play, and you can see where times at Jackson State where things kind of broke down for him a little bit, and he's having to run around and escape and make plays. And I think he was a far more comfortable doing it, and he physically looked better moving around at Jackson State than he did at Colorado. He looks like a bigger guy. And I think if he could get himself back into that form where he had at Jackson State, because he'll take himself into some sacks just because he drifts far too much, you know, and he just doesn't have, you know, he just, instead of getting rid of the football, he'll drift and then try to avoid, and he can't. But at Jackson State, he would drift and he would get himself out of trouble. So I think physically he's a better player at Jackson State than he was at Colorado.
And I wonder how much of that has to do with just the the defenders that he was going up against. You know, he was able to run away from guys.
Well, they did. Well, they blocked for him better at Jackson State than they did at Colorado.
Definitely blocked for him better.
Yeah.
And then you just don't have the same type of athletes that you're having, you know, being in foot races against.
I think they dealt with a lot of quickness there at Jackson State. A lot of guys, you know, the Gramblings and teams that I watched him play. You know, there were some teams that got after him pretty good. He just physically, his body looked different in the way he was able to move around.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I wonder if there's a conditioning factor to him a little bit that he's, you know, if he needs to slim down a little bit so he can be a little bit more mobile. He's a good athlete. I think he could be a better athlete. He said he was a better athlete at Jackson State.
Yeah, I mean, I just remember watching him at Colorado and that being one of the big takeaways. Outside of his general accuracy, which is a plus for him, it felt like he was always running for his life. Yeah. And a lot of that had to do with the bad offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
But I think plenty of it had to do with him, like you said. He just feels like he's a drifter. And he's not Kyler Murray or somebody who can run out of anything.
Ward from Miami will drift too.
He will.
But he tends to, when he has to escape, he can escape. When you start talking about him as a player, like him in Milrow, when they have design runs, you know, they're able, you see the explosive, the power, the quickness and all that.
Cam Ward has some of that, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's surefire number one. But after that, I don't know.
I don't know. We'll see what the Giants do. The Giants might want to take a positional player and then think about it, but their general manager is in a win now mode.
Mm-hmm.
So he might be forced to take the quarterback there and see what happens. But he might also consider taking, like he did last time, how he took Neighbors, take somebody else to pair with the quarterback and then maybe grab the quarterback in the second round.
Well, I do think also like how much intel they have from around the league on where they think Shador might go.
Well,
because if they think he falls out of the top 10, they could be a prime candidate to take whoever they think is best at 3.
Yeah.
And then perhaps trade back into the first round.
Sure.
To try and go get Shador.
Sure.
And then you kind of double dip in the first round that way. But it's just hard to imagine in my mind that the Giants punt on a quarterback opportunity here.
Well, they like I say, they need
a lot though.
They need a lot, and the problem is their general manager's got one foot in the parking lot as is. So, do you want to draft a quarterback for somebody else, or is this guy this guy has to be? And he spent a lot of time in Boulder. I mean, he spent a lot of time in Boulder, and so you know that leads me to believe that maybe that Shador will be the consideration for them at 3.
Well, if he was spending a lot of time in Boulder, that means he saw a healthy helping of Travis Hunter, who is the two-way super beast. Mm-hmm. But he apparently is also quite the fisherman.
He's a great fisherman, yeah. He's got his own boat.
He said, when I dream at night, I'm actually fishing on a boat.
Yeah.
He's not going to bed imagining getting pick sixes or catching balls and getting yak. He's thinking about fishing on a boat. I feel like this is even more exciting in terms of your draft stock. Is he your number one player in the draft?
Number one player.
He's your number one player.
Right.
So he can't go any higher. Nope. But you knew this about him already. He was quite the fisherman.
Yeah. I knew like if you follow along, it's kind of fun the way he's really outstanding when it comes to his media availability and what he posts. And so he posts a lot of things that he does in his life, and fishing is one of them. He's got a beautiful boat that he fishes off of. So, good for him. And he's pretty talented at doing it.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Well, I saw
Chris, the same passion with his head coach, you know, with Dion.
Oh, that's true.
Being a great fisherman. Yeah.
Well, Chris Sims had his quarterback rankings last week for the draft, but now he's got his wide receiver rankings. And this is very interesting to me. Because he's got Travis Hunter at 1, his best receiver. He's got Tet McMillan at 3.
Mm-hmm.
So those are names that you're familiar with.
He's got the Washington State kid, I think, at the second overall pick. Is that?
Yeah, Kyle Williams.
Kyle
Williams out of Washington State is Chris Sims' second best receiver, and he's not a guy that I've heard talked about at all. We hear a ton about Ibuka. Yeah. We hear a ton about Golden. We obviously hear about McMillan. Mm-hmm. He's got Kyle. Who is this Kyle Williams?
Kyle Williams is a transfer from UNLV, and he actually broke Dez Bryant's Holiday Bowl record last year for receiving on 10 catches. I think he had 172 yards.
Why aren't the Cowboys, why aren't we talking about him for the Cowboys?
He's like a third, fourth round guy, in honesty.
Okay, so what the heck is Chris Sims seeing that has him as his second best receiver in the class? Yeah, that's crazy.
I think he likes the quick twitch element to his game, I'd have to say. He's a vertical player. The stuff underneath, though, is kind of not what you want to be with the other guys. But the, I mean, he's not going to block all that well on the outside, but he's kind of the, some guy that runs routes the same speed. So you've got a guy that's a vertical player that can has a little quick twitch of getting off the line of scrimmage, but the underneath stuff is not as good as some of the others. He's 5'11", he's 190 pounds. He's a good player, and you know, but he's got some punt and kickoff return stuff. So this is, he's taking a flyer on a guy, is what he's doing.
That's his number two receiver in the draft, according to Chris Sims. Yeah. It's Kyle Williams out of Washington State. That's hilarious. Mm-hmm. Okay, we are, by the way, only 1 month until the NFL draft. Isn't that crazy?
No.
That is crazy to me.
It's funny because we talk.
It's happening a little earlier this year.
Every time we're on the draft show, Kyle Yeoman says we're 100 days away, we're 90 days away, we're 70 days away, we're, you know.
30 so days,
I
boys.
I feel like we've been counting down the, you know. But no, yeah, it's getting close to finishing this thing out.
Time's flying, buddy. We are just a month from the draft, 3 days from opening day. That is right, Thursday at this time. The ball's going to be getting pitched.
Let's go.
By Waldy.
Nasty Nate on the bump. That's going to be awesome, dude. We have, how about this? The quote from star wide receiver with the Rams, Puka Nacua, 24 years old. He says, quote, "I know I want to retire at the age of 30. I think of Aaron Donald. Let's go out at the top. I think it would be super cool. But also, I want to have a big family. I want to have at least a starting five. I came from a big family, so I need five boys for sure. But also, like, I want to be able to be a part of their lives and be as active as I can with them." Nacua talking about raising a family and being done with his NFL career at 30 years old.
I mean, if you could script it where you get to the NFL at 22, 23, you accomplish everything, you win a championship, you get a giant bag of money, and you're gone. I could see that, but one thing I know about young guys is they don't have a great imagination for what it's going to be like when they get older. You know, they just don't know. So when you get older, you're going to need more money. Maybe your wife at that time is going to be like, "Honey, play one more contract out. You're only 30. Why are we walking away from $80 million?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to love it, you know, so much that you won't want to let it go. Right now, you think the next 5 years is going to last forever. 30 years old to a 25-year-old is like, might as well be 100. But it's going to go by in a blink, and you're not going to want to give it up. That'd be my read.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, how much money are you really going to be able to make between now and then? And now with the dollars being what they are, we are seeing guys retire much younger, more often than we had been accustomed to.
Good point.
That's what they have that opportunity now with how much money they're able to make. As long as he can stay healthy, his next contract should be pretty dang fat, especially with the wide receiver money being what it is now.
Yeah.
So, but you're right. You're 24 and you feel like 30 is way down the line. It'll be real soon. If he wakes up,
it's part of the problem for finding quality analysts and media members. You know, the guys who are good have such generational wealth. They don't want to like look at a schedule or being accountable to anything. They're good. They made it. You know, they get the next 50 years to basically be on vacation.
Yeah. Yeah. What a dream. Did you guys see the CJ Stroud impersonator over the weekend?
Did a good job.
Getting in to the Houston rodeo.
Yeah, the rodeo, yeah.
This guy, I mean, don't get me wrong. We'd all be double taken if we saw this guy. We'd all think that was probably CJ Stroud. But the funniest part is he's actually wearing his number 7 Houston Texans CJ Stroud jersey, as if players do that when just walking about around town. CJ Stroud impersonator. And then all these, like you see the video, this dude gets in free. You see him at the security and they're like, "Oh yeah, Mr. Stroud, come on in here." And then you have all sorts of people, security included, all trying to take pictures with him. And he's just some internet impersonator of CJ Stroud getting behind the gates and getting through. I remember the Clay Thompson lookalike was pretty strong. Yeah. That one was still the most impressive from what I'm familiar with, impersonating in sports and actually getting into the arena. I mean, that dude was like putting up pregame warm-up shots as Klay Thompson. That was incredible. from just a few years ago, but this is not bad.
Okay, so a quick search of this. Dude's been kind of blowing up behind the scenes on Twitch and different social medias for a couple of months.
Colin Drum.
Yeah, like this fan at a Rockets game thought he was CJ Stroud. So over the last couple of months, he's been realizing how much he looks like CJ Stroud and just decided to try it out, take it for a spin, hit a home run.
He did. That is so cool. He's taking pictures. He's signing autographs.
I mean, you got to have some sort of a critical thinking skill about you, though. You got to look at the chest, the guns. I mean, it's close.
Right. Right.
But you got to be is this dude really a football player?
Yeah, he doesn't quite have the body for it.
Yeah.
You can see him falling out of the jersey. But, I mean, I do think it's funny to consider there's at least one adult at work on a Monday sharing the weekend story of how they got a chance to take a photo and get the autograph with CJ Stroud.
Yeah.
And they have no idea they were getting ball sacked.
Amazing.
That's good stuff.
I mean, that Sylvester Stallone at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers on Friday... He could have sold me.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
He was doing, I love how he was doing the bottom lip to the side.
Yeah. And they're so funny. Mr. T and Harrison Ford, rolling around.
Yeah. And Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones was really good, I thought, too.
Yeah, Indy was great.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, a lot of these impersonators are really heavy-handed and self-important, you know? And they kind of get obnoxious. Like, look, okay, we get it. It's a funny bit.
Yeah.
But they're kind of laughing along with you.
Yeah. They're in on the joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. And then we'll close it down here. Kirk Cousins planning to wait until after the draft to potentially waive his no trade clause with the Falcons. I don't even know if the Falcons are going to be planning on trading him at all. We'll see what he can command via trade, but he doesn't want to get the same situation that he ended up with in Atlanta last year, where he maybe gets traded to a team, then they draft a quarterback, and all of a sudden he's second fiddle. He still thinks he's a starter in this league. So we'll continue to monitor Kirk Cousins. I don't know which one I care less about, Kirk Cousins or Aaron Rodgers, but both of them. Just
Aaron Rodgers for me.
Love it, Chief. Thank you so much. A C-Note's coming up. Cowboys news of the evening. Who's the Cowboys signing with the most upside from this free agent round? Would you do this Micah Parsons trade? And apparently the Cowboys are looking to trade for a quarterback as well. It's the G-Bag Nation's Cowboys news of the evening next in the Fan. Welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Time for the C-Note. Cowboys news of the evening. Talking about a... Miami slot receiver,
yeah,
right?
Restrepo. Yeah, he's. It's funny. Eric goes, he ran 4.8. Dawson goes, is he a tight end? I'm like, no, he's like a 5.8 slot.
He's a slot.
He plays really fast, though.
I like Restrepo. He's a route running machine.
He is a
good
he
change
is that,
of direction.
Yeah.
Everything. Yeah.
Okay. Time for the C note here. Yeah, Joe Milton, Patriots backup, a target in the trades for the Cowboys. Brian confirmed that for us at the top of the show. This is real. Okay, I know you see a lot of Cowboys trade rumoruskies out there, and you're like, well, this is speculation, or it's just an opinion. But this is an actual report.
Yeah.
I don't know why the Patriots would want to deal him for what the Cowboys would be offering.
They really don't.
I'd want to hold out for a 3 if I'm giving a young quarterback who had some success in his rookie year.
Sure.
I could see why the Patriots want to get something, but yeah. What do you think, Brian?
They might be in a situation, though, in New England where you have a new coaching staff, and they're probably not interested in the guy.
Okay.
You know, and maybe they didn't like him when they evaluated him while they were at Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And so so the coaches are walking in like, hey, we really don't feel good about playing with this guy. We don't think he could fit what we're trying to do. So see what you can get for him. And I mean,
they've had a chance to evaluate him for a year.
Yeah.
If they're willing to give him up for a 5, which is probably going to do nothing for your organization.
I think the front office wants to fight for him.
Okay.
I don't think the coaching staff is necessarily on board with it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
New coaching staff comes in and says, we're really not interested in him as a backup guy. We'd like to do something else.
I know they do have Dobbs as their backup.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking as a young quarterback who had success, if we can get him in a couple of preseason games and he lights it up,
mm-hmm.
we could. I mean, I think trading for a 5 is probably nothing, you know? And I have a young quarterback asset in my building. We know it was years ago, probably 2 decades ago now, what the Packers were able to trade Matt Flynn to the Seahawks for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want a 3. I want a 2. But more than that, I want to know, you know, from you guys, maybe what you think the Cowboys would be thinking here for Milton. Is this evidence they're trying to prospect in those quarterback waters and find a replacement for Dak, who's starting to get dinged too much?
Yeah, I think it's twofold. I think you want to have something with some more upside than Cooper Rush. And so you have to start considering Dak's end, And when is that going to be? Sometime over the next 4 years, but injuries have cut him short. And throwing Cooper Rush out there, not good for business. You're going to probably win one too many games to get the draft pick you really want in a year that you actually suck like this year, but you're not going to win enough to actually get to the postseason. And there's no excitement, at least when you have a young rookie quarterback or like a Joe Milton style quarterback with upside that you haven't seen before. That's getting eyeballs and that's generating interest when a season may be going sideways on you and Dak gets hurt. Who cares to go watch Cooper Rush again? We've seen this bland story before. Yeah. Go get something that maybe it's going to be a train wreck, but you will be, I mean, all Cowboys fans will be much more interested in watching the Cowboys with Dak goes down and it's a rookie quarterback or a second year quarterback as opposed to Cooper Rush.
Yeah. You're right. That is super boring. And then there's kind of a burst of excitement in the fourth quarter when the determination is made. Did you win or lose?
Exactly.
That's it.
Okay. So look out for more Joe Milton content.
But your assessment of a fifth round pick is dead on.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Yeah. I mean, if they would take it.
For what New England's looking for.
If I'm the Cowboys and I get that, I'm like, cool. We got a lotto ticket here. A guy that's got good athleticism, pretty good arm. And at least played in a meaningless Week 18 game and put up really good numbers. Would you do this Micah Parsons trade? It's next in the C-note here. Cowboys news of the evening. We go to Katie Drummond talking about it. Sent in a proposal for you guys. Dallas would send Micah to said Patriots for the fourth overall pick, the 38th pick, a fifth rounder, and then a 2026 first rounder and 2027 third rounder.
Holy smokes.
So you're getting 2 1s, a 2, a 3, and a 5.
Heck yeah, I would do that. I would absolutely do that.
Talk about backing up the truck.
That means you have a good chance of getting Travis Hunter in this draft.
Well, I was just doing something. I was going to do it at Krusty's Corner because I've got another trade proposal off a mock draft I saw. Remember I asked you guys last week about would you trade for Travis Hunter?
Right.
It's actually there's a better way of even doing this now off this mock draft.
Cool.
So we could talk about that at 3:40 today.
No way Cowboys actually do trade Micah Parsons, but it's an interesting conversation.
Yeah, the Cowboys are they're not the type of organization that moves on from star players. And unfortunately they wait to pay him until the last minute and they end up resetting the market with these players. And that's exactly what they've done now with Micah Parsons. But yeah, they're not the type of team that is thinking long-term rebuild, losing a star player. They don't have an appetite for that. But this particular scenario, I think you're getting like exactly what you would want in terms of not only are you getting multiple first round picks, but one of them is a top four pick.
Yeah, but so you're getting 4 and 38. So what are we getting in 26?
Another first round pick.
And what else?
And a third and 27.
Oh, and a third and 27.
So 2 1s, one of those being a top five pick.
Yeah.
And
good shot that pick could be very high too. That one at New England could be in the top five again.
Yeah. I mean,
depending on what you think about their quarterback and how New England's going to play this year.
You know, I just think with what the Cowboys have added to the defense, you get Diggs and Overshown back with Parsons. I really want to see how this thing could come together. But you're offering 2 1s, a 2 and a 3. Like, there's a price for everything. You know, the Cowboys don't trade star players, but at some point they would.
Yeah, and in this case, you know, I mean, you would feel pretty good about the idea that you could get Travis Hunter at 4. So you're trading star player for star player.
What do you feel like the possibility of maybe getting Carter from Penn State?
Yeah, and there's also that's you're getting one of them.
Yeah. I mean, people will tell you, though, that Carter's a bigger pain in the ass than Micah.
Yeah.
The Penn State folk will tell you that.
Okay. Well, I mean, as long as, you know, he plays that well.
Yeah. I mean, if you hate Micah for being a pain in the ass,
this is a bigger pain.
It doesn't have to bother me.
This is potentially a bigger pain in the ass.
I think the only way it really bothers fans is when it gets to the point where a guy could be kicked out of the league, suspended, stuff like that. I mean, sure, fans can get offended or think I'd rather have better leadership, but all that's just personality flair to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing, too, is who says you have to even pick it for? You could just trade down from there.
Yeah.
And sure could. Now you're just stockpiling high value picks.
I would pick Travis Hunter if that was the case.
I would too.
I would, assuming
he's there at 4, but
it's a little bit more easier for me to trade down from 12 personally, just for what the level of player. But I'd take Travis Hunter.
You are looking at a Hall of Famer for maybe All Pro. I mean, what's Travis Hunter's bust potential there. If you say star for star,
he's 185 pounds. He could bust at corner. He could be a slightly built corner that gets beat up on the outside by people. That's why I think he's probably going to be a wide receiver in this league. I think he's going to have more opportunities to make more big plays as a wide receiver. But I understand why people have him at corner, but he is 100. He's a slightly built corner.
Does he have the length?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But he's 185 pounds.
Gotcha. Good stuff there from Brian Broaddus, a former Cowboy Scout.
And if he plays both ways, his weight's only going to go down.
Oh, burning calories.
Exhausted.
He gets smaller.
I would love to know the meal plan. Whatever team that gets him, really committing to him playing both ways as much as possible. What does that meal plan look like?
You would be envious the way you eat. Yes.
If it was me, I think I'd load up on French toast for all three meals, to be honest with you.
Hey, that's a good route. I mean, obviously you got to figure out a way to get the protein in there, but in terms of your entree,
I love that. The egg on the bread, that's quite a bit of protein, isn't it? The egg in the bread?
I think, do you guys know how many grams of protein are in one single egg?
7 or 8?
I believe it's 6.
Okay. So you might have to do a side omelet.
Maybe a side omelet. You could always just protein shake it up with chocolate milk and just all the deliciousness.
Man, so I'm doing Lent again, which is 6 weeks of denying myself delicious treats.
You're on fire.
I think I'm taking it all the way to training camp this year because I built myself in too big of a hole. I got to continue this on. So we're 2.5, almost 3 weeks into this, and I'm imagining the French toast and the donuts and pizza. It's just killing me. I haven't been able to get through that mental breakthrough where I forget about it yet.
This is usually about the time where the hallucinations start to set in and you start having those dreams about different snacks.
My goodness.
But so you're 49, right?
Yeah.
49 years old. So 49 was the year, the line of demarcation where the regulation length of Lent might not be quite enough to make up for the last 12 months.
Yeah. I mean, it was really firing like 4 or 5 years ago, and I got low enough that there was no amount of debauchery that could push me back over 2 bills. But now I keep tipping back over there, and I'm like, this is when it gets like, you know, the doc's like, hey, here's your obese line.
Yeah.
It's below this.
We're going to need you to go on about 6 months of crash course.
Dude, they told me my ideal weight last time I was there was 166 pounds. I was like, how is that humanly possible? So I feel like I would blow away.
Are you two bills?
I'm like 193 right now.
So you're carrying like a third grader on your back?
I carry like 30 extra pounds. Maybe not a third grader, but at least a 3-year-old. Okay, Pro Football Focus did every team signing with the most upside. Brian, who's yours? Is it that edge? Was it Peyton? Something like that.
You know what? I really do like the linebacker from the Bears.
Sanborn
a lot. I think Sanborn's a really a nice signing for the Cowboys for the way that he sees the way the play develops. He gets in. He can finish as a tackler. Like the way he could play, probably play as a Mike and play as a Will. So, yeah, I think for a young guy, surprised they just didn't tender him a contract there. But I think he's got big upside there.
Yeah, that's who Pro Football Focus went with, saying slotting him at number 200 on the big board ahead of the 2022 draft. Pro Football Focus was actually high on him in college. Mm-hmm. The Wisconsin product proceeded to go undrafted before landing with the Bears. Long been a sturdy run defender. PFF grade at 70 in 23 and 24 after excelling there in college. Cowboys may be able to offer Sanborn more snaps due to their depleted linebacker room.
He's a start, probably.
Bolstering one of the league's worst run defenses units from a season ago. So you think increased role with the Cowboys, increased production, maybe leading tackler on this team, Brian?
Absolutely, yeah.
David Moore in the morning news writing about the Cowboys running back situation. Headline, Javonte Williams, Miles Sanders won't cede lead role easily if the Cowboys draft a running back. Williams saying, from what they're telling me, they want a competitive room. Everyone go in there and compete, and may the best man win.
That's BS.
They want the rookie star to be a star?
Yes, absolutely.
If the rookie couldn't beat Miles Sanders coming out, would you have bust potential on your radar? I mean, Miles Sanders is a pretty solid veteran. It's not going to be easy to beat him out.
I could go all the way down in the fourth round and have a guy that beats Sanders and Williams both out.
Nice.
Yeah, I would be hugely concerned.
I'm that comfortable with this draft. I could go all the way to the fourth round to beat both those guys out.
Yeah, the running back you draft is the guy that needs to be your starter.
Yep.
And it shouldn't be very hard to unseat Williams and Sanders.
Mm-hmm. So if he's struggling in Oxnard preseason, it'll be like, oh boy, it's Miles Sanders time.
That would suck.
That would suck.
Okay. Never want to see Miles Sanders time on the clock.
No, you don't. No, he had that one good year 3 years ago in Philadelphia, but it was so offensive line dependent. It's actually the exhibit A case if you're going to court for, you know, why the running back doesn't matter very much. It's that, you know, offensive lines can make you look like an all pro. Great tweet from Donnie Fowler over the weekend said, "I'm back and I'm better." He's talking about what his run defense, Brian, when you did that film study on Dante Fowler back after 1 year with Washington, he said on Twitter this weekend, "I'm better." What does he mean by that?
He's gotten better playing as a run defender is what he has. He's got a better feel for how to play off blocks. It's just not about being just that one-dimensional player where all he was a pass rush guy. You could actually start this guy, and the way that the Commanders were able to do that, you know, before he was a guy that was kind of a rotational player, but he's got more in the tool belt now with his ability to play with his hands, get off blocks, get upfield, chase down the, you know, guys going away, ball coming at him, playing with some strength, been able to get off blocks. Like, yeah, he's gotten much better as a run defender, and I think that's where he has to feel pretty good about himself.
All righty, it's the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan, the Cowboys news of the evening, every show at 3:20 here on The Fan. We get you caught up on everything developing. And then we get to Krusty's Corner with Brian Broaddus, daily 3:40. Brian, what's in store for us today?
Yeah, let's talk about some of these quarterbacks. And as I mentioned, I got a trade opportunity. We'll do that next.
Thank you very much, Ross, in for Lucius today. The 254 asks, did Zach get suspended for saying bad words on Friday's show? That's Walt in Waco. I mean, that's a good question, Walt. The only thing I'm legally allowed to say about that is no. So there you go.
There have been some whispers about potential line crossing. You know, I mean, he was double digit tequilas deep on Friday. Cold beers and cheeseburgers, man, that can get away from us.
The Woolly Bully in full glory. That's what that was, Brian.
You should have, like, he, you know, got him from one place to the other.
He was sick. So we leave cold beers and cheeseburgers right at 7 o'clock because we have a Sandlot charity dinner in Deep Elm at Pecan Lodge. Yeah. Unbelievable. 10 out of 10, as always, Pecan Lodge, dominant barbecue. Yeah. But the entire time, Wolchuk had puke face.
He had one sliver of brisket.
He couldn't keep anything down.
Couldn't keep anything. Like, I carry like a kind of a beach towel in the back seat of my car. I transferred it from the back seat to the front when he got in. Because I was thinking he was gonna throw up.
Yeah. Oh, I would have put it at a guarantee. Looking at him at Pecan Lodge the entire time, just he could barely keep his eyes open. There was a lot of burps.
Did you feel like though that he got really really drunk, and then started to kind of somewhat get sober, and then he got hung over at dinner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he went from being like he was darting. Yep. Heavily.
Instead
of going to bed, he just kept going as far as staying up.
Right. That's right. That's exactly what happened.
And then you drive 45 minutes in the passenger seat. Maybe a little car sickness starts to creep up on you.
I did my best not to throw him around, you know, make him have to I did with Jim McMahon that one time where Jim got all sick on Doug Peterson's, you know, truck. That way. I tried to be really mindful of I've got a guy that's not doing very well right now, you know?
He was tore up.
He was doing great a few hours earlier. I think to each their own on this, Brian. I feel like you've led the charge on this one. It might be in his best interest, maybe to coach him up on this. Start drinking later in the show. Finish with the bank. Finish at your peak.
Yeah.
5 and 6 o'clock, bang, and now I'm going, and I'm, you know, now my evening starts at the end of the show.
Sure.
Right? Now maybe I'm going to go tie one on, but dang it, that was fun. You know, cracking a handful with you in the last couple hours of the show.
Yeah.
Here's Brian with Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. The king himself brought us.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that. Thank you very much for Reliant for hanging out with us. Yeah, I was just kind of like, I was worried. By the time we got back after being at dinner and dropping him off here at the station, I was kind of worried that he wasn't going to make it home.
Hmm.
You know, I was like, hey, you want to kind of, anything, we follow you? Oh man, I'm good. I'm okay. But man, he looked terrible. Like you said, do you think I should say something though, Dawson? You really think I should?
It's up to you.
You threw the opening to the show, and I think he had two tequila shots down.
Yeah.
By the time the opening of the show had just.
Yeah, I don't think Broaddus will have to even say anything. I think the HR ladies will take care of that.
You're right. Yeah.
probably
I'll say this
above my pay grade.
I'll anyway. Say this though, Lucius had just as many tequila shots.
Yeah, but that's a man who understands his body.
And like Lucius looked like he showed up. He looked ready to go.
He also treated it more like a marathon.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
Wolchuk was doing a 40-yard dash of booze.
Wolchuk and Belt could go toe-for-toe in the 0-60 category.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
I kind of feel like,
they're more in the sprinters.
Very, very much, yeah, like my passion for racing, that we go about 200 miles an hour and go right into the wall and stop.
Yeah.
And just, you know, G-force, boom, just right into the wall.
It's a good explanation for Friday afternoon about 5:15.
Seriously,
I'm gonna have to go back and listen to some of that. I bet it was insane.
Remember at the end though, real quick, I know we got some football to talk about, but you remember at the end he was trying to just get out of segments.
he was
trying to like, oh man, can you?
I might sit this one out.
I might sit this one out here. I mean,
I'm gonna go.
I'm really not
the bar.
Sure. Gosh, I'm like, bro.
He still had it all over his face, too, at Zero's wedding on Saturday afternoon. I could see. I was like, yeah, you had a long day yesterday.
Could he not?
Not drink?
Yeah.
Oh, no, he had no problem.
Oh, yeah. Oh really? He did it at Zero's wedding? He did? He kept going?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, shout out to the margaritas there, man. They were on point. A little hair of the dog never hurt you.
Just kind of wondered why. Why like a guy like 61 years old like me can drink more shots than him and not be all tore up?
No, you didn't have more than him.
I don't know, man. I feel like the Gary, I think I did seven. Seven fireballs, yeah.
Well, yeah, he had the higher proof liquor. He was getting tequila, which is 80 proof. Fireball's 40 proof, bro.
You guys kept trying to tell me that.
You got it on PG-13 mode.
You guys were kind of trying to tell me that, and I was just kind of kept drinking them.
I can buy Fireball at the gas station, dog.
Bro, I did not see you doing shots.
That's because I had to keep myself intact. Last
Why?
Time, cold
worry
beers
about
and
going,
cheeseburgers.
Going home, and you're like...
Well, yeah, I didn't have the DD. So I was smooth sailing. Cold beer here, taper off about 4:20. We're good. 7 o'clock, I was humming. Yeah, I was ready for those ribs.
Can't believe you guys are just downplaying my ability to have some fireball shots.
I don't want to downplay it.
I think Dawson tried to at the bar. He goes, you only know you're drinking 35%.
Well, you tried to compare yourself to the bully, and that was 10 tried and true tequila shots.
I don't impressive. Know. Okay.
Twice as much liquor in
those.
All right.
The
yours.
Last time we were there, like I was picking up the slack for some of those other drinks, the lemon drops and some of the tequila drinks that we didn't know what the butterscotch drink. What was that I was drinking?
Hey, oh, those, listen, you were doing it right. Okay.
I want a little acknowledgement from you over there.
Well, I gave you a pat on the back. Hey, listen, I'll acknowledge that you would
35%.
You would drink Wolchuk under the table going shot for shot, but that's not what you did on Friday.
And I did get him around. I was worried about him getting sick. All right. Got a trade for you there, Chieftain.
Let's do it.
On Pro Football Focus's last mock draft, they have Travis Hunter getting to 5. So he drops another spot. Remember last week he was at 4 at New England and we were talking about trading up. This week they have him at 5.
Jags?
Yeah. This is all it's going to cost us. Remember last time it was we were going to have to give up pick 44 and maybe next year's 3?
Yeah, you swap guys, ones, you pick up, you give up a second and a third.
Yeah, for next year.
Right.
2026. This time around, man, you willing to give up your 2 and pick 149, a fifth, to go get him in this draft? A 2 and a 5?
A 2 and a 5 to go get Travis Hunter? Yeah, that's...
And you keep 12?
No, you swap.
You swap. You go to 5. You go to 5.
Yeah.
They go to 12. You pick Travis Hunter at 5, and they get your second round pick, 44 and 149.
Got to do it. That's easy. Yeah, I'm.
Oh wait, we've taken him out of the mix because he wants that 149. He wants to make a pick there.
No, when
it was next year's 3.
Yeah, next year's felt a little better because I'm kicking the can
but
on
he,
that.
But he would complain that like, oh, I can't believe we gave up. This year's 3, no, next is 3 for this, you know.
I like being able to spread out the assets that I'm giving up because this team does have so many holes that they need to be able to stand tall and make some picks. Yeah. But I'm still so enticed by Travis Hunter that I would still do it. I would absolutely still do it. You're getting a two-way guy, hopefully. Hopefully you have a guy that's eating snaps at corner and also wide receiver 2 to CeeDee Lamb. And the superstar factor of that name, that's got Jerry written all over it.
Yeah.
Okay, good news here, Brian. Whiskey expert weighing in. Fireball whiskey, 66 proof. So that's pretty close to tequila, which is at 80. Fireball malt, which is what I was thinking about, is the 33 proof stuff.
Okay, that's the
junior high school stuff.
That's the stuff you get at the gas station.
Yeah.
So, okay.
It's basically made of wine. It's fake Fireball.
But I was indulging in the 66% one, right?
Yeah.
Which was closer to what you said, the 80% with the tequila, right?
Yeah, it's 80% of the 80 proof. Right. So it's not quite as bad.
Hey, I gave you an attaboy butt slap at the end of that show for a reason on Friday. I came away impressed.
No, I was just, you know, I'm
and
always,
you weren't sloppy
I'm
like you trying, were in Arizona 2 years ago at the post-game dinner, you know? You weren't just slobbering all over yourself during our charity dinner like you were in front of Nate Dell and
Hicks. Hey, Eric, let me tell you.
You think Eric?
Sorry, I didn't realize Gavin was having a conversation with you. Let me butt in here again.
Talk about something you don't give a damn about. You know, at the end of that, I didn't feel bad until the next day.
I had a great time, man.
I didn't feel bad until the next day. Then when I kind of when Hicksie did say, "God, that Broadus is sure chatty."
Yeah. Well, he's hammered.
I bought him dinner. I felt bad about being so chatty. I did interrupt you a ton. A ton. All right, so we're in on that, right?
Par for the course.
Yeah. All right, cool. Thank you very much for the guy or gal who texted in and said that was 66 proof. Yeah. All right. Okay, 5 minutes here. Here we go. Seen four quarterbacks so far. I'm not going to go through each one of them, but I'm going to tell you, I've got specific, and this is, I'm kind of stealing a little bit of an idea from Pro Football Focus. Of the guys I've seen so far, the quarterbacks, and they have it broken down in different categories. So I'm just going to kind of walk you through, and we'll update this as I see the rest of these quarterbacks, and then we'll come up with a consensus like, oh, this guy has the best this, and this guy does this the best.
Oh, okay? There you go, yeah.
All right? Best arm I've seen so far is Jalen Milroe, by far.
Just in terms of arm strength?
Arm strength,
yeah,
by far.
He's got an absolute cannon.
He is, when you... There's no telling where it's going to go, but you watch the first half of the Georgia game. He throws the ball as well as you can imagine. You watch the first half of the Michigan game where it's early in the game, it's pouring down rain, he's getting sacked, he's fumbling. He looks like a guy you wouldn't even draft. But as far as just pure arm talent of the four I've seen so far, he would be the guy. So that would be him for arm talent. Best out of the pocket quarterback.
Ooh, I'm gonna go Cam Ward.
Shedeur Sanders
throwing the ball outside of the pocket.
Outside the pocket,
on the move.
I think left and right. Yeah, I think Shedeur Sanders does this. I think his going to his left is rare with the way he throws.
I mean, the accuracy certainly speaks for itself.
He is incredible throwing. I mean, he could get his hip open, shoulder squared, and let that thing fly. And, I mean, it's on a rope going to his left. A lot of guys sometimes struggle getting everything in line to get that ball out.
Mm-hmm.
Sanders has got this. He's got this. And his arm talent isn't the best of the group, as we mentioned.
Yeah, the arm strength is not quite there. But the accuracy is pretty next level. That's encouraging, though, the idea that he can do it left and right on the move.
Best mechanics I've seen so far in the four, Will Howard from Ohio State. He's got the ability. I think Will Howard could play under center, and I could think he could play in the shotgun. Now, he's our national championship quarterback. He got better as the season wore along. Michigan game, though, very end, though, he made a couple mistakes that might have cost his team the game. A couple of interceptions, one down on the goal line that was really, really bad, and one backed up. But overall, you watch all the other playoff games he played in. Ohio State's got great players. But, man, he did a great job of getting the ball on the move to these guys as they're able to. They're running those crossing routes. He hits them on the move, down the field throws. He's not throwing the ball behind his guys. He's putting it right where he needs to be, the accuracy. But when you start to talk about, though, hit the mechanics of him and him sitting in the pocket, throwing off that front leg, getting the ball to where it needs to be and helping his guys get down the field and make plays.
Is he a day three guy?
He's a fourth round guy on my board right now.
All right. Cam Warden doesn't make an appearance yet.
Not yet.
Best skill set.
He's about to. Best under pressure. Cam Ward.
There you go.
Cam Ward he can escape a lot of trouble here. Best mobility, Jalen Milroe.
Yeah.
I think when you watch Milroe, he has the ability to design runs, whatever he has to do, anything to do movement in the pocket wise, he's got the best mobility.
When you say Cam Ward pressure, are you talking about escaping pressure or standing tall
standing
in the pocket
in
the with
pressure,
the dude in his
with
face?
Pressure in his face.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, best when it comes to standing there and making the throw. Best on third down is Cam Ward.
Hey, that's huge.
Best touch is Shedeur Sanders.
Okay.
And the best, see if I read my best outside the numbers thrower is Cam Ward. So far, the guys I've seen so far, those are the guys that I've the four guys. Cam Ward, I got him in the first round. I've got Sanders in the second. I have to figure out if he's player 16, 17, 18. I only 15 first round grades. So don't freak out at I say second round. He's in that second tier group of, you know, he could be a 17th best player on my board. I have to kind of determine with the other guys. And then I've got Will Howard in the fourth over Milroe in the fourth as well. So far, that's what I've seen. Got seven more quarterbacks got to do. We'll revisit this and see if some of these guys, the first four that I've done, still maintain the level of the best of.
Well, thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Krusty's Corner every afternoon brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. We're talking baseball with Jared Sandler as the Rangers have a lot of decisions to make and a big game coming up tonight. We can preview that for you as well coming up next here in the Nation.